This is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice. You know why? You ain't got a choice. You got to rejoice. That's what brings his presence. He loves to hear his children. Rejoice. Rejoice. God rejoices in our praise and worship. God rejoices in the righteousness he's given us. But so much of the world has lost its identity. So much of the world hasn't never received its true identity. And it grieves the Spirit of the Lord. But there are things that are happening right now to cause people to awaken, whether they want to be or they don't. They're either going to get awake or they're going to die asleep, one way or the other. And the things that are happening, that's why there's a big shaking and a quaking going on. And I love the shaking and quaking, because it's bringing many people to the kingdom. It's actually a beautiful thing that God's doing. He's got a sting operation that's arresting people of corruption. And he's got a place where people are being saved and rescued. You know, we're all fighting for freedom. Every day there's a battle to be free. Every day there's a battle to resist the devil. Amen. Every day there's a battle to resist your flesh. We live a life to resist, but it's a life of disconnect from the world so we can reconnect to God. This is not about a religious operation. This has nothing to do with religion. In fact, the word religion means bondage. We are free because we are born of the Spirit, not of the flesh. And there's a big difference. There is this time right now that we're in. The Spirit said to me, my people are, many people of this world are in desperate time. They're in desperate time right now. We're in a desperate time globally. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, are we in the last days? It says perilous times will come. In other words, perilous times means desperate times. Desperate. You know what the world is desperate with? We are in desperate times. You know what they want to know? The future. They are in desperation to know what's getting ready to happen. Everybody knows something's getting ready to happen. But they don't know what's getting ready to happen. So the world is in desperate times. Even the parts of the body of Christ are in desperate times. They want to know what's getting ready to happen. But there's a place where you don't need to know, because you already know. Verse 2, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanders, without self-control, brutal despisers of good. They will be traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They'll have a form of godliness, but they'll deny its power. In other words, they will be false. They'll be liars. And from such people do what? Turn away. Turn away from those that deny the power of the Spirit of God. For these are the sort that creep into households and make captives of gullible men and women. They load them down with sins and led away with various lusts or desires. They're always learning, but they never come to the knowledge or the truth to be set free, because they don't know how to practice truth. Now Jannes and Jabez resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of what? Corrupt minds. Why are they being taken captive by the mind-controlling spirits? Disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further. For their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. In other words, we are in desperate times. What does desperate for? They want to know the future. They're trying to find out what's going on. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the what? So when we know it's the perilous times, the last days, now we're in the last hours. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even so many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have a what? An anointing from the Holy One. And you know what? You know all things. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Does everybody understand that? Why? Because the Holy Spirit tells you things to come. You already know. And what you don't know, you don't need to know. Does everybody get it? The anointing tells the future. Say that with me. The anointing tells the future. What is the anointing? It is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. All encased in the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh or the physical. Even though we've known Christ according to the physical, yet now we know him what? Thus no longer. He's no longer physical. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, now wait, I want to tell you something. It's important. Christ is not Jesus' last name. He's the Christ. He's known as the Anointed One and his anointing. That means if anyone is in the anointing, he's a new creation. If you're walking in the anointing, grab hold of this now. Are you ready? Let's speak it. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ or in the anointing, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Does everybody get it? If you're walking in the anointing, old things have passed away. And all things are becoming new. You're constantly shrugging off everything of old. The anointing is breaking the yokes. If you're filled and you're walking in the anointing. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. I hope everybody gets it. Go a little bit further. Verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was working in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are what? We are ambassadors for Christ, for the anointing. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Become the what? Righteousness. Ooh. A new creation in the anointing. The anointing is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. If you're truly walking in the anointing, old things are always passing away. Why? Because these are desperate times. There'll be a period of time where people are going to come up to you and go, what's going on? I know you know the truth. And the Holy Spirit is going to speak through you. Romans 14, verse 16. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but what? Righteousness and peace and joy, where? In the Holy Spirit or in the what? In the anointing. Woo! For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for a man who eats with offense. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the anointing. Galatians 3, and verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you who were baptized in Christ, that means baptized in the Holy Spirit. You have put on Christ, you've put on the anointing. So you've been baptized in the anointing, you've put on the anointing. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, anointing. Hallelujah. That's why so many believers don't walk in power. They're not walking in the anointing. They're still living in the outer courts of salvation. They never entered the second court of priesthood. So they're not fulfilling their priesthood, because the priesthood is a part of the anointing. When you're walking in the anointing, you become a priest. And you can't help yourself but want to minister to the Lord. You want to worship Him. You want to show Him how grateful you are. And the more you worship, the more you get filled, the more you get changed, the more you get touched, and the more the anointing comes upon you. But you got to break through. Sometimes you got to go through the car wash a few times. It's the same thing. Hallelujah. Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. Now, what baptized is he talking about? He's going to refer to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because he says, he who does not believe will be what? Condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. What's the word believe mean? Follow. In my name they will what? Well, you ain't casting out the devil without the anointing. They'll laugh at you. They will speak with new tongues. Hello. That's those who've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Why? Because you're walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing, the eternal presence and power and truth of God Almighty, the anointing. And we know all things. Baptizing us with Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. See, many people are in Jesus, but they're not in Christ. There's a difference. Jesus is still their Savior, but not their Lord. He can't be their Lord until you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. Until the anointing comes, then He becomes the Lord to you. Hallelujah. I say then, walk in the Spirit. If it says walk in the Spirit, what are you walking in? The anointing. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Hello. If you're walking in the anointing, the desires of the flesh, you will disregard. It can't overtake you. You'll say no. And you don't see this on bumper stickers of car. They used to say, just say no. You can't say no without the anointing. Verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish or you desire. Why? Because if you walk in the anointing, you're not going to allow the desires mislead you. You're not going to allow emotion to mislead you. The only desire you're going to have is what's going to be fulfilling and desirable of God. Verse 18. If you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which is not walking in the anointing. This is the fruit of the flesh. Amen? Is everybody there? What's it say? Which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. These are individuals that are not walking in the anointing. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. They won't. They're lost, living outside of salvation's truth. L-O-S-T. But God loves me. Yes, he does. He loves all of us. You know, God's love is also judgment. People don't realize that. God doesn't cast people to hell. They cast themselves. Verse 22. But it says the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of the what? The anointing is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is no law. And those who are in Christ, hello, have what? Crucified the flesh with his passions. So those who are anointed have crucified their passions of the flesh. If we live in the Spirit or in the anointing, let us also walk in it. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. Oh, I love it. Walking in the anointing, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. You will walk in righteousness, peace, and joy. And you will know all things. You will see things. See, the anointing, when you're really walking in anointing, you'll see the end result of many decisions. That's why you don't make them. Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the world or the Gentiles in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of Christ because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work of all uncleanness with greediness. But you've not learned a what? The anointing. You've not so learned the anointing. If indeed you have heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. True righteousness, not taught by the anointing. You know, you can listen to teachings and so forth, but if the teachings are not backed by the anointing, you're not being taught by the anointing. Man, you know when the anointing is there. Why? The anointing changes the heart. The anointing brings conviction. The anointing gives you a thirst and hunger for more. Hallelujah. Not taught by the anointing to walk in true righteousness of God, not self-righteousness. He requires true righteousness. Amen? 1 John chapter 2, verse 26. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to what? Deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you don't need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you will abide in him. Wow. The anointing teaches us and tells us things to come. How? Through the gifts of the Spirit. That's why there's prophecy. Words of knowledge tells us things to come. The gifts of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, are tools to operate and to live. It's not just for ministry. It's for you, for everyday life. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Let's speak it. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the what? The Holy Spirit, or the what? Anointing. I love talking about the anointing. I do. Because when I start talking about the anointing, I get more anointed. And I get more joyful and grateful. See, when I had my visitation from the Lord and I got introduced to the anointing, I called him Buddy. He was my best friend, still is. I couldn't survive. I couldn't do anything without him. The Lord separated me from the world, and it was just me and Buddy. I couldn't even read the Word of God. I had a second, third grade reading. He taught me how to read. He brought me interpretations of the Scriptures and revelations, dreams and visions. That's why the Bible says, and the Holy Spirit will be poured upon all flesh, and they will have dreams and visions, and they will prophesy. What are they speaking? Things to come. That's about to reoccur in a mighty way again. We have to be prepared and be positioned. Buddy will show you. Future revealed by the Holy Spirit. Oh, happy days. You know, think about when Jesus came into physical. He didn't do anything until the anointing came upon him, even though he was already anointed. But he had to fulfill his own word that was predestined. So when they saw the dove come upon the Holy Jesus, which was the anointing. So the word of God became physical. Then the anointing came upon him. That's when he went. That's when he raised the dead. He didn't do anything until then. He tried to, but mom pulled him by the ear out of the church, out of the temple. Come on, it's not time for this. And he was teaching them all kinds of stuff because he was the anointed one. They were blown away about all the questions and the answers they had as a 12-year-old kid. But he didn't cast out no devils yet. He didn't raise the dead. He didn't lay hands on the sick. He just had conversations with the Pharisees and Sadducees, and they missed it. But they were amazed at his questions and answers. But mom had to come and get him. Come on, it's not time yet. We don't want you to be exposed to the world yet. They were waiting on the Lord. They were waiting on what? The anointing. They were waiting on the Holy Spirit to come upon them to fulfill the word of God. Then he can go. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through who? The Spirit, which is what? The anointing. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except for the what? The Spirit of God. Awesome. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Whoa. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. That's powerful. Revealed by the deep things of God by the anointing. By the what? Anointing. Your future is revealed by the anointing. People are desperate right now. They're looking for answers. And you carry them. Psalm 37, verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall what? Exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native tree, green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is what? Peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in a time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Psalm 89, verse 11. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world in all its fullness, you have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Debar and Hermon rejoice in your name. You have a mighty arm, strong is your right hand, and high is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. What is the foundation? Righteousness and justice. And that's what you're seeing happening right now. See, the closer God comes to the earth, the closer the kingdom is coming. The throne of God is coming closer and closer. It can't handle. The earth can't handle it. Demonic forces can't handle it. The anointing that it carries is so powerful. It's penetrating all areas. And righteousness and justice is taking dominion in global areas. Mercy and truth go before you. What goes before his face? Mercy and truth. Mercy, Jesus came in the fullness of truth and grace. So we see here that his foundation is justice and righteousness, but before God, he releases mercy and truth. Mercy is when someone cries out, Lord, help me. That's mercy. What you're asking for his mercy, what you're asking him to do is consider you. Consider me, Lord. Have mercy upon me. Consider me. And what does he do? He releases truth to you. Somehow, some way. Verse 15. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long. In your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horn is exalted. For the shield belongs to the Lord, and our King is the Holy One of Israel. Then you spoke in a vision to your Holy One and said, I have given help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from above. I have found my servant David. Now, who's God using as a servant now? Trump. With my holy oil I have anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Also my arm shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him. Isn't that wonderful? He's outwitting all the enemies right now, isn't he? Look at all the trade deals and everything else. He's outwitting them all because God's given him the wisdom. Nor the sons of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face and plague those who hate him. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. It's happening. And we get a front row seat to watch this happen. And I close at Psalm 11, verse 4. Hallelujah. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire and brimstone and burning wind. Shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance upholds the upright. Oh, hallelujah. Desperate times. Desperate times. We have to stay positioned, stay connected, maintain your routine. Amen. Be disciplined. Because the devil comes as a roaring lion. just like I said, he's an ant with a megaphone. All around us, be careful of the media, the news and stuff like that. There's so much false prophets on the media. It's incredible. They're misleading people. And these are Christians. I run into them all the time, and they're still listening to the stupid stuff. I keep telling them over and over. I send them places to go and listen to the truth. And they just don't. And they come up during desperate times. Hey, do you know what's going on next? What's happening with this? Man, I give you information to go look at. They just refuse to. Because of the demonic forces, you know what they're lacking? The anointing. They're still involved in religion. They're living in the outer courts instead of the holy place, the most holy place. But God is shaking their world. In fact, he's shaking the whole world to get people out of the outer court and into the holy place. So the anointing teaches them. Amen? Old things pass away and all things become new in the anointing. I talk to so many people. Are you in fellowship? No. Well, you know, they'll be struggling. Hey, would you pray for me? Let me find out where you're in fellowship. I'm not in fellowship. Why not? The Bible says forsake not to assemble. Why? You need to get together and worship and get the anointing. It's not about three songs and collections and a few scriptures. It's about touching the heart of God by worship. And then he touches you. We should want to touch from the Lord every time. We want to please him. If you ain't got a heart to please him, then something's wrong with you. It's called a demon. Amen? Listen, in his presence, demons will run. But they'll come back. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And we thank you, Lord, for preparation. Because people are desperate to know the truth. They want to know the future. But you hold the future, and it's a good one for us. Thank you so much. Because we know the truth. And the truth sets us free by practicing the truth. So, Papa, thank you. Thank you so very much. And seal this word into each and every one of us and bring it to remembrance as we go forth today. Prepare our hearts for communion in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.